Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Lamed Ches. We will begin 6 lines from the top of daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza. So the topic of the daf is the mitzvah of Zroya L'Choyayim and Keva and the mitzvah of Reishis Hagid. So again, the Torah in Parsha Shoiftim tucked away Dvarim Perik Yud Ches Psukim Gimel and Dalet state as follows: V'zeh yiyeh mishpat hakoyanim me'esa'om me'ezoivchei hazevach im sharim seh. So if a member of the Am, that's the key word, shall shech an animal chulin, whether it's a shor or a seh, the nosan hakoyan, he has an obligation to give to the koyan what we know as matonos. The Torah refers to them as the zroya, the foreleg, the halachayayim, the jaw, the hakeva, and the abomasum of the animal. The pasuk continues and says, "Reishis degoncha tiroish chav yitzarecha," also known as truma, "the reishis geis tzoincha," and the reishis, the first shearing of wool of your tzoin, titein loy. The Torah says that too you should give to the kohen. And then the pasuk concludes and says, "Ki voy bachar Hashem alekecha mikol shvatecha." The kohen was chosen from all the shvatim, Shevet Levi. Either way, so there was a short perek hazroi v'alachiyayim, a short perek reishis hageis, but as we've seen, the two are very much intertwined. Regardless, so the Mishnah said that when you give your reishis hageis to the koyein, the kama noisim loy. So what's the shear? Meaning, how much wool do you actually have to give to the koyein? Says the Mishnah, mishkoch chomesh slom b'Yehuda. It's the equivalent of the weight of 5 slum in Yehuda, Shein Eser slum b'Galil, which also is the equivalent of 10 slum in Galil. So 5 slum in Yehuda, based on weight, equaled 10 slum in Galil. That's the shear. That's how much you have to give to the Kohen Reishis Hageis. And then the Mishnah says, Melubin v'loitzai. The shear is wool that's been whitened, not wool that's dirty. Kidei lasois mimenu beged katan. And it has to be enough wool that the koyin, when he takes this wool, will be able to make from it a small baggage and emar, because the pasuk says, "Vereishis geis tzoincha titein loy." Titen is Milosha Matana, and we learn from this, Sheyeheboy Kidei Matana. Either way, the Mishnah said that when you give the Reishis Hageis to the koyin, Miluban Veloitzai, you're supposed to give it after it's already been whitened, and not while it's still dirty. That's certainly what it sounds like the Mishnah is saying. It says the Gemara Tana, we learned in a Braisa that clarified this Mishnah and says, no, don't understand the Mishnah, Kipshuta, that it's the obligation of the Yisrael that's going to be giving the Reishis Hageis to the Kohen, Tamid Melambein, the Tzemer, before he gives it to the Kohen. Loishi Elabe Benaviyanet Nuloi, says the Braisa. You're not obligated to be Melambein in itself and then give it to the Kohen. Rather, Elishi Elabe Benu Kohen. The Kohen is the one that has the responsibility to do the Libun. It's not the Yisrael's responsibility. You take the gaze in its dirty state and hand it over to the Kohen. The Kohen wants to be malabbing it. Obviously, that's what he's going to do. But that's going to be his own responsibility. It's going to happen at his own expense. What then does the Mishnah mean? What it means is, she'ilavivenu Kohen, that after the Kohen does the Libun, v'yamid al chamish slon. The Mishnah is just explaining the shear a little bit better. The shear of how much reishis hageis you're supposed to give is chamesh slaim. The question is it chamesh slaim before the libun or is it chamesh slaim after the libun? Apparently, when you're malabin wool, so some of the wool gets lost. If it's chamesh slaim pre-libun, chamesh slaim gross, then at the end of the process of libun, your net is going to end up being less than chamesh slaim. What the Mishnah is saying is it's chamesh slaim net. After the Libun, the Kohen has to walk away with 5 slum. But in terms of the responsibility of who is supposed to do the Libun, says the Braisa, it's the Kohen's responsibility. Mishnah said, "Kidei lasseis beged katan." Not immediately. How do you know that the shear is related to the Kohen being able to make from the wool a beged katan? I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi, it's learned out from the Pasuk. Right after the Torah mentions the mitzvah of Reishis Hageis, the Pasuk says, "Ki voy bachar Hashem alekecha mikol shvatecha, lamoid l'shoreis b'shem Hashem, huvanov kol hayom." Says the Gemara, we learn from the Pasuk that says, "Lamoid l'shoreis," that it has to be a dovashu roi l'shiros. It has to be big enough that the Kohen would be able to make from it a beged, that he'd be able to do shiras with. I mean, it has to be big enough or small enough for him to be able to make one of the big daikuna. Mind you. And what's the smallest of the big daikuna? Avne. I mean that the gartel, the avne, was the smallest of the big daikuna. The shear of the avne is chomesh slum b'Yehuda, which is 10 slum in the Galil. That's how you know it has to be big enough for him to be able to make a beged, and that's also how you know this specific shear, because even if it's possible maybe to make a beged that's going to be even smaller than Mishkal Chomesh Sloim B'Yehuda, but it has to be Lami L'Shores, it has to be a beged that's Roy L'Shirus, the smallest beged that's Roy L'Shirus is the Amni. How do you know it's the smallest beged? Maybe it should be the biggest beged, maybe it should be a mil, says the Gemara, Tafasta Ruba, Loi Tafasta, Tafasta Mut, Tafasta, this is a Yisoy throughout Shas, that any time you have a choice, you can go bigger or smaller, Tafasta Mut, Tafasta, you always go small. Frank the Gemara, the Emel Kippa Shal Tzemer, I think there was a beged, argues the Gemara, that was even smaller than the Avni. And what is that? That's the Kippa, like a Kippa, that's the head covering that was made of wool. What was this head covering made of wool? That's one of the begadim that the Kohen used to wear. The tiny begadim to the price of Kippah Shal Tzemer. The Kohen Gadol used to wear a Kippah Shal Tzemer. And he used to put the tzitz on top of that. The Kohen Nashon Emer to be Mekayim the Pasuk that says Vesamta Oisay Al Psul Techeles V'Hoyal Mitznefes El Mul Pnei Mitznefes here. So when the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol was supposed to wear the mil, the Torah says where did he put the mil? Not directly on his head, but rather Vesamta Oisay Al Psul. And this Brisa says that there was another beged. It was a Kippah Shel Tzemer, and that went directly on the head of the Kohen Gadol. The tzitz was on top of that Kippah. Regardless, straight to Gemara, how do you know that it's Mishkal Chomish Slam? Because that's the Mishkal of an Avnit, which is the smallest of the beged, and there's a smaller beged. The smaller beged is the Kippah. It was only worn by the Kohen Gadol, but the point is there was this smaller beged. Now, it's interesting. We're familiar with the four begadim that the Kohen had used to wear and the Shemayna begudim that the Kohen Gadol used to wear. It sounds like there was a ninth beged. There was this Kippah Shel Tzemer. So how come we never heard of the Kippah Shel Tzemer? The truth is the Rambam in his Avodah in Yad Chazaka, Klei HaMikdash, and Beis HaBchira, and Maaseh HaKorbanos, and Psulei HaMikdash, if you go through Rambam after Rambam after Rambam, he never mentions this Kippah Shel Tzemer. And the Kesef Mishnah is Matmiya on the Rambam, it seems to be Keneged HaGemara. But the truth is, throughout Shas, we're familiar with the Shmoyna Begadim, and it almost sounds like the Rambam held that all those Gemaras that talk about Shmoyna Begadim is the biggest Raya, not like this Brisa, that there wasn't an additional Kippah Shel Tzemer. So this is an interesting conversation for another day. But for now, the Gemara's kasha is that if this Brisa is correct, that there was a Kippah Shel Tzemer and Tafastam or Tafasto, the Shir Reish Zagid is related to the amount of wool that you would need to be able to make the smallest beged. So Frank the Gemara, the smallest beged is not the Avnei, the smallest beged is this Kippah Shel Tzemer. Says the Gemara, oh my God, the Pasuk says, who Uvanov? And we learn from there, Dava Ashava Laharin Uvanov, that Pasuk. Who Uvanov kol hayamim? Who Uvanov means who Aharon? Uvanov, the Aharon's sons, the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedid. It has to be a mishkal where you can make a beged that both Aharon and his sons wore. This Kippah Shel Tzemer was related to the tzitz, which only the Kohen Gadol wore, not the Kohen Hedid. And it's for that reason it can't mean this beged. What's the smallest beged that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedid wore? The smallest beged is the Avni. Frank the Gemara, Avni Nami Lo Yishavi. It's not true. Is the Avni the beged Ashav Hon? Yichas says the Gemara, the man Dama Avni Tisho Koyin Gadol. Lo Yizeh Hu Avni Tisho Koyin Hedit Shapir. So the Koyin Gadol on Yom Kippur, whenever he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, used to put on special begadim. Kohen Gadol always wore his Shmoyne begadim, but on Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, when he entered the Kohen Gadol, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would wear Big Day Lavan. And the Big Day Lavan were made of linen. And there's machlokes in the Gemara, if that linen avne that the Kohen Gadol wore with his Big Day Lavan, was that the equivalent, it was the identical avne to that which the Kohen Hedyot wore the whole year, or not? If it's the identical one, that means that the Kohen Hedyot's avne that he wore the whole year was made out of linen. If it's not, that would mean that the Kohen Gadol's Avnet that he wore with the Big Day Lavan was made of linen. But the Kohen Hedyot's Avnet that he wore the whole year was not made of linen. It was made out of linen and wool. It was shatnez, thus the machlokes Rambam Ravid, whether the Kohen Hedyot was allowed to wear the Big Day Kohuna Shlidush HaSavoyda, because Bishlein of the HaSavoyda, you have the Aseh of Avoyda, or the Aseh of wearing the Begadim, the Rambam Sheet and Sefer HaMitzvahs, Vadvarim Matikin, but that's going to be the Echoloises, and Rambam Sheet is, so when you have Aseh, the Echoloises, you can wear the Avnet, otherwise not. But the point is, that whole Rambam and Ravid starts with a mandamer and chas that holds that the Kohen Hedyot's Avnet was made out of shatnez. But not everybody holds that way. There is a mandamer that says the Kohen Hedyot's Avnet was actually identical to the Kohen Gadol's Avnet that he wore on Yom Kippur when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was not made of shatnez. There was no wool. It was made out of butz. It was made completely out of linen. Regardless, the Gemara's kasha is, as it relates to our sugi, honey, if the Kohen Gadol's Gartel on Yom Kippur is not the Kohen Hedyitz Avnate the whole year. That means the Kohen Hedyitz Avnate the whole year is made of wool and linen. So if that's the case, the Kohen Gadol's Avnate the whole year and the Kohen Hedyitz Avnate the whole year are the same. They both have wool in it. Thus, when the Torah mentions Reishis HaGeiz and then relates it to Kivay Bochar Hashem L'kech HaKosh V'Zach M'Shores to teach me that the shear of how much Reishis HaGeiz is related to the smallest beged made of wool, it's a beged, the Avnet is, that's Shava L'Harim Uvanov, because both of theirs Avnet is made up of linen and wool. Elul Mandama Zeh Avnet Yishu Koyin Eber Koyin Mandama, that says that the Koyin Hedyitz Avnet the whole year was identical to the Koyin Gadol's Avnet, which was part of the big day love, which means there was no wool in it. It was mostly made out of linen. If it was only made out of linen, then the Avnet is also not a Dover Hashava. Because although they both were an Avnet, the Kohen Gadol were an Avnet, the Kohen Hedyitz were an Avnet, but it was a very different garatel. Either way, the Gemara says you have to say Shem Avnet. But oh, well, the bottom line is, they both wore a Avnet. Even if the Kohen Hedyitz Avnet maybe had no wool in it, so it doesn't match directly to the mitzvah of Reishis HaGeiz, which is take wool and now make a beged from. What do you mean? The Kohen Gadol can make a beged, an Avnet from wool, because his Avnet had wool in it. The Kohen Hedyitz Avnet did not have wool in it. But the bottom line is, they both wore an Avnet. Lamaisa, the Mishnah says that the sheer Reishis HaGeiz is how much wool? Chamesh Slaim B'Yehuda, which is the equivalent to 10 Slaim in Galil. How do we come up with that sheer? Because the Torah seems to say that how much wool do you have to give? Give the Kohen enough wool so that he'll be able to make one of the Big Day Kahuna, Tafasta Mu'a Tafasta, so that it should be enough wool for him to be able to make the smallest of the Big Day Kahuna. The Torah says, Hu Uvanav? So it should be a beged that both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyitz wore. What's the smallest beged that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyitz wore? It's the Avnet. Zok the Gemara, Loi Hispik Litne Itma. Gazaz Umachar Rishayno. So the Mishnah said that how much shearing do you have to do in order to be chayv in Reishis HaGeiz? So the Mishnah said it's Machloikis B'Shamay B'Shil. B'Shamay says two recheilos, two sheep. According to B'Shil, it's five recheilos. Says the Gemara, Port Machloikis Amira. Gazaz Umachar. What happens if somebody shears the wool of his sheep and then he sells the sheep? So he kept the wool that he sheared, but as far as the sheep itself goes, he sold it. And he ended up doing it five times. So now he has the shearings of five sheep, but he doesn't own the sheep themselves. The question is it going to be chayiv or is it going to be potter? Now, if somebody has wool and he doesn't own sheep, there's no chayiv reishis hageiz. The Torah says very clearly, reishis geiz tsoin cha titein loy. You have to own the tsoin. If you don't own the tsoin, there's no chayiv. In this case, the person owned the tsoin, but owned in the past tense. Right now, when the shear was mitzurah, when he had five, he didn't own the five sheep anymore. So each shearing came from a sheep that he owned. So if you look at it at the time, real time, as he's shearing, I own it, I own it, I own it. But when it all came together, when he finally had the shear, he didn't own the sheep anymore. So the question is he going to be chayiv? Because at the end of the day, he has reishis geiz tsoimcha of five recheilos, or maybe be that he doesn't have all five at the same time, then maybe he's not going to be chayiv. So the Gemara, chizdom ha-chayiv, b'mnas ma'ishu yom ha-pot, chizdom ha-chayiv da-gozas, b'mnas ma'ishu yom ha-pot, b'idna de-kamol ishiyura, b'idna tsoimcha v'leka. You need that at the time that you complete the shear, you should have all five, and you don't have it. If somebody buys the gaze of the tzoyin of a non-Jew, potter mirashis hageis, he's going to be potter from mirashis hageis, because all he did was he bought the wool. And being that all he bought was the wool, he can move in his potter. It sounds like from the Mishnah, if somebody would buy the sheep of the guy, not to own the sheep entirely, but rather for its wool. So this is like Halukeach Soda Lepeirosov in the sugyas of Ein Adam Makne Dova Shaloi Balayla. What happened here was you bought the sheep, but you bought it not to be able to work with it or to milk it. The purpose of you buying the sheep is specifically for one singular reason. You own it for its wool. It sounds like from the Mishnah, in that case, you're going to be chayav. I mean, if you buy the wool, but you don't buy the underlying tzoyin, then you're part of the reishis hageiz. But if you would buy the tzoyin for its wool, it sounds like in that case, you're going to be chayav. The Gemara's kash is, amai, kol chad v'chad basur gizon, afkalei mershusei. What happens after you share the wool? It's not yours anymore, because you only bought it for the wool. So as soon as you share the wool, it goes back to the guy. Meaning at that point, you don't have it anymore. So you're going to share it. Now it's going to go back. You're never going to be chayiv because you're only chayiv if you have five. And as I share one, I don't own the sheep anymore because it goes back to its original owner. So isn't this the biggest raya that as long as I own it at the time that I'm shearing it, that's enough to say that once you could be mitzara five recheilos, at that point I should be chayiv. And if that's the case, it's a zokti gemara tigam Rav Chizda alibad Rav Nosam Aroshia kigoyin shehitno loikol shloishim yoyin. Rav Chizda himself, meaning this mishnah is a riot to Rav Chizda, but Rav Chizda wanted to enfer Rav Nosam Aroshia, who's his bar plukta. So tigam Rav Chizda, the gemara does this sometimes, alibad Rav Nosam Aroshia, he said kigoyin shehitno loikol. You have to say that even though he sold it only for a shearing, but he also sold it to him for a certain period of time. So basically, what happened was he says, I'm selling this to you for 30 days. During those 30 days, you're gonna own it for its shearings, but at least the buyer owns it for 30 days. He sheared all five of them during the 30-day period. During those 30 days, it was Reish's Geis Tzaycha, because he owned it for that amount of time, and as a result, he owned it all at the time when the five Rechelis were sheared. Thus, it was Mitzurif at a time that he actually owned all five. Rashi says, Shloish Mem is Lav Dafku. The point is that you have to just make an Akimta, just work it out logistically, that he owns all five at the same time, so while he's shearing, not the second after he shears that it goes back to its owner. Just needs it that it should all be in his rishos, meaning it's a nice diak in the Mishnah, but even Rav Chizda said, Rav Nosam Aroshia, it's okay. This is not the raya that I'm right. Either way, the Mishnah said, Al-Kech Geisoynoi Shel Chaveroi. So the Mishnah then said that what happens if somebody sells the wool of his Recheilois to somebody else. So he sells the tzoin for its shearings, but he holds back some of it for himself. So halakha is as follows. If shayir ha-moicher, if the moicher leaves back some of it for himself, chayif, then the moicher is going to be chayif. Lo yishayir halakeach. So basically what happened is somebody owns sheep, and he sold some of the wool of his sheep. So he sold the tzoin for its wool, but not all of it, only some of it. So essentially we're partners right now. I, the moicher, own some of it. You, the lakeach, own some of it as well. Who has the chiyav reishis hageis? Does the moicher have the chiyav reishis hageis? Or does the lakeach have the chiyav reishis hageis? So the Mishnah says, if the moicher left something back for himself, then the halacha is chayv. The moicher is going to be chayv. If he didn't leave anything back, then the halacha zalikeach is going to be chayv. Who's the tana that holds of such a svara that in theory you can argue that the moicher should be chayv, the lekeach should be chayv, maybe they should both be chayv? But it sounds like the way the Mishnah approaches it is that as long as the moicher, who was the original owner, he's the Marakama, he left back some of it, that's enough for him to be chayiv for all the rishis hageis for the entire sheep. Who's the Tana? Where's the precedence for this? So the Gemara says, Am Rav Chizda Rav Yehuda, he the Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Peyah. Somebody had a field, and in his field, there were a bunch of disparate, these favorfana trees, they're all over the place. So the halacha is, if somebody sells the trees, but he leaves the field to himself, Noisein Peyah L'cholecha Be'echa, the buyer of the trees has an obligation to give or leave peya for each tree that he bought. Now, usually when you think of peya, you think in terms of a field. One of the chidushim in this Mishnah is that each tree, as long as it's a standalone tree within somebody else's field, would have to be viewed as a field unto itself. And as a result, if I own that tree, I have an obligation of peya on that tree. So if somebody sold some of his trees inside his field, he kept the field for himself, he sold the trees, the buyer of the trees has an obligation to leave payah for each one of the trees that he bought. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, not always the case. But if the Bala Sada left back some of the trees for himself, now he's responsible to give payah even for the trees that he sold. So it's his responsibility to give payah. Bottom line is that you see from it this concept. There's a concept over here that if the Meicha was shayer something for himself, even though it's two completely different halachas, this is Reishis Hageis, this is payah, but the bottom line is there's such a concept, without going too much into it, that if I leave something over, that's enough for me to be chay. But Rava said, "V'amar Huda Amar." So Rava told Rabbi Yehuda, "How could you be saying, Rav Chizda? How could you be saying that pshat in our Mishnah, Mantana of our Mishnah of Reish Zageis, is that Rabbi Yehuda Mesechtes Peya? But you yourself said a pshat in that Rabbi Yehuda, which would mean that Rabbi Yehuda's halacha was a specific, unique halacha in Ilchas Peya that has nothing to do with our sugya. What was the halacha that Rav Chizda said? That the only time Rabbi Yehuda said his halacha, that if he was Meshai or something, the Meicher is now responsible for all the pay in the field, it's only true if he started harvesting the field. So if he started being Kaitzer in the field, then he's going to be Chayef. But as it relates to if he didn't start being koitzer, then there's no such halacha. So you see that it's not the pshat that the shear itself is mechayev me now on everything. It's because he was his chalikzah. Says the Rav Chizda. Okay, so maybe Rav Chizda will say that our Mishnah is Rav Yehuda, and just like Rav Yehuda said by pay Yavusha his chalikzah, so too over here Yavusha lichalikzah. But the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why not. Bishlam Hashem over there. When the Torah mentions the mitzvah peya, it says uvekutzrachem es ktsir artzachem loisachal pasadcha, and we learn from uvekutzrachem es ktsir artzachem meidna das chalikzah mechayev gulasuda. As soon as you start being kaitzer, you're chayev to leave peya for the entire field. Elahacha, but over here meidna das chalamekos like mechayev gulayadre. There's no such halacha. You don't have a pasuk for that. To say such a chiddush is very outlandish. That as soon as you stop being goyze is one of your fields, now suddenly you have a chiyev and everything. By peya, there's a drasha that says uvekutzrachem. So therefore, there's a svara that if you left over something, which is the trigger of payah, so it makes sense, you should be chayah. But there's no such trigger in the halach as of rachis, I guess. The bottom line is that Rav Chizda told Rabbi, one has nothing to do with the other. And as a result, says the Gemara, if that's the case, so who is the Tana of our Mishnah? The Mishnah that we had in the previous parak. So if somebody goes up to somebody else and he says, sell me the Bnei Me'ayim of a para. And there was Matanois. Which one of the Matanois is in the Bnei Me'ayim? Keva. No, it's not like Goyim. So the halach is the buyer has to give the keva to the kohen, even though he didn't shecht it, he's not the me'es zoyfchei hazevach, it doesn't matter. He has an obligation to give it back to the kohen. Additionally, he can't go back to the meicher and say, make me whole for the keva that you understand that as a yid, you have a responsibility of zoyfchei l'chaim and keva, the keva's in the bnei me'ayim. You ask for the bnei me'ayim, that's what I sold you. You can't be shocked now that you found the keva inside. You have to give the keva to the kohen, and I don't owe you anything. It was understood when you bought it that that's what you were going to get. Lach met of a mishkol. If, however, a person didn't walk in and say, give me all the bnei me'ayim, but rather he measured and he weighed a certain amount of bnei me'ayim, then the halach is nice in the kohen. He then, too, has an obligation to give it to the kohen. Additionally, he can go back to the meicher and say, if I bought all the bnei me'ayim, then the meicher doesn't have to give the lekeich anything. It's understood the keva is going to be there. But if I only bought some of the bnei me'ayin and I bought it b'mishkol, then the lekeich can tell the meicher, I never expected to be buying keva, which is really matnas kohuna. As a result, I'll give it to the kohen, but you have to make me whole. But what do you see from here, says the Gemara? One knesh. Alma, you see from here, matonois de koyin le masbeninish. That the understanding is that people don't usually sell matnas kohuna. So if I'm a butcher and I have matnas kohuna sitting, you know, in my freezer, I'm probably not selling you the matnas kohuna. The zroi l'chayay mekeva is probably not going to be included. If that's the case, when it comes to reishas ageiz as well, if I sell you wool, I'm probably not selling matnas kohuna. I'm probably not selling you the reishas ageiz that I have a chiv to give to the koyin. Hachanami matonois de koyin le masbeninish. Hilkoch. So it's for that reason, if somebody went and he bought some of the wool of a sheep from somebody else, shayer ha-meicher, if the meicher left something back, meicher chayev, the meicher is going to be chayev. Based on the principle we just mentioned, omalei lekeach, because the lekeach can tell the meicher, matana de koin, gabachi, that there's this chayshe mishpat understanding that people don't usually sell matnois kuna. And just like if I bought bnei me'ayin, not all the bnei me'ayin, some of the bnei me'ayin, you can't sell me the keva. If I buy some of your wool, you can't sell me the reishas ageiz. So as long as you leave something back, it's your responsibility to give it to the kohen. Because the umdana, the muchach is that we did not agree on that. And therefore, it's your responsibility to give the reishas ageiz. If, however, the meicher left nothing back, then loikei achayev. Why? The amalei, because who else is going to be chayev? Then the meicher is going to tell him, I thought the kohen is out. How could he tell him I didn't sell to you? But you have it. So if he left something back, so that would be enough for the loikei to tell the meicher it's going to be your responsibility. That's why in the Mishnah, shayer ha-meicher, the meicher is going to be chayev. If he left nothing back, then obviously in that case, loikei is going to be chayev. Hadron halach, reishis hageis, excel. So before we go weiter, and we start the last perek, believe it or not, of Masechtas Chulin, perek Shiluach HaKan, also known as Shiluach HaKain. So before we start the last perek, just to go back to one ha'ara that we spoke about last week. So last week, we spoke about the number 22, Misper Chav Beis, and we spoke at a beautiful Maramakim in the Marshan, Chedushi HaGadis, Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Yer Aleph Amar Aleph, who says that the number 22, which appears many, many, many times in Shas, is related to a pasuk in Parshas Toldos, when Esav wants to kill Yaakov, and Rivka goes to Yaakov and tells Yaakov, you know, I want you to know that your brother Esav wants to kill you, and I'm just giving you good advice. Go run to my brother Lavan, you'll be safe over there. And what does Yomim Achadim mean? Zok Rashi, one word, Mu'atim. So go away for a short amount of time. And how long was Yaakov away from? 22 years. So says the Marsha, you see from here that Yomim Achadim is Chof Beishanim. It's 22 years. And he explains a Gemara, Bava Basra, Daf Yud Aleph, and we should tell the Tzut, all these different Gemaras, that whenever the Gemara talks about Chof Beishanim, it sounds like the significance of Chof Beishanim is Yomim Achadim, Yomim Mu'atim, even though 22 years feels like a long time, but it was Chazal's way of saying it's a significant amount of time. It's a zman choshev, we get it. But at the same time, it's yomim achadim. It's yomim muatim. So on that note, me'inyin le'inyin, a little ba'isa inyin, a little shaloi ba'isa inyin, I just think it's worth digressing. And that is, so we learned perek hazroya, v'halechayayin, v'hakeva. Sorry. So we learned Perek Hazroya Valuchayim Vahakeva. And we had Rabbi Yochanan's memory that was mentioned, which is that if somebody eats from the meat of a behemoth without being mafrish the Zroya Luchayim Vahakeva, it's as if he ate teva. I mean, just as a concept of you're not allowed to eat tefua without being mafrish trumas and maestras, there's a concept of kilu oichel tefoim when it comes to the Zroya Luchayim Vahakeva. Stating that, the Gemara says, the less hilchas akavase, that halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is that you're allowed to eat from the meat of an animal without being mafrish. The zroya, no, any chelik beis. I'm sorry. You're allowed to eat from the meat without being mafrish. The zroya lechayim in the cave. Stating that, this Gemara Masechtas Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara says like this: Shalu Talmidav is Rab Preda. Rab Preda's Talmidim asked him. He told him, nobody ever came into Beis Medrash before me. I never went Rabbi Sam without mention in the presence of a Kohen. And I never ate from the meat of a behemoth without being mafish to my tongue. Stop, Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm Rabbi Yechon. Also, lechol, mi behemoth shloihum matnei sev. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Kol oichol behemoth shloihum matnei sev. Kilo oichol tfolim. Vles hilchus akavasei. Stating that, even though the halach is that you don't have to worry about it, but I myself was makbid, I was nizer. It was a chumra reprev that said that I took upon myself that I would never eat from the basar of an animal, if I wasn't mafrish, the Zroi L'chaim and Keva, and Repreda felt that it was in the schus of him keeping that chumra, that he was Zoycha Tarichas Yom. We learned the Gemara at the very beginning of the Masechta, 100 Tafan ago, Taflamet Zayin Amid Beis, where the Gemara quoted a posik that Yecheskel Hanavi said, Va'oimar Yecheskel says, Aho Hashem Elokim, Hine, Nafshi Loi Metumah, Unavela utshreifa loyachalti menu urai v'adato v'loy ba b'fi b'sar pigel. Where Yecheskel Hanavi turns to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and he tells Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, you realize my mesiras nefesh. Number one, nafshi loy metuma unavela which I never ate unavela utshreifa. It's not when I was a child. V'adato up until today. V'loy ba b'fi b'sar pigel. I never ate pasar pigel. And the Gemara says can't be that Yecheskel means the things he's saying literally, because what's the grace of Madrega that Yecheskel never ate pigel? It's chavi krisos and he never ate nevelas, he never ate treifas, and the Gemara beautifully goes through and darshens every single line of that pasuk as it relates to the last thing that he said. So there's machloikas of the Gemara, what he meant. Rab Nosson says, you know what he meant to say? Shaloi achalti mi behemo, shaloi hurmu matnoiseo. I never ate from a behemo without being mafish, zroi l'chaim and keif. In other words, what emerges is that even though the halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's okay to eat from a behemoth that's chayev in Zroya l'chayayim in keva without being mafresh the Zroya l'chayayim in keva. Stating that, there seems to be some midas chasidus not to. So even though it's not tevel, but on a midas chasidus level, for sure it is. And you have two gemaras for it. You have Rapredis gemara in Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, and you have this gemara over here in Masechtas Chulin Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. In fact, if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says, Afal gaf. This is in Yerudei, Simin Samach Aleph, Siv Kotten Hei. Even though it's mutter lechel mi basar behema koydim sheyafish amatanois, even though it's fine, you're allowed to eat from a behema before you mafish the Zroi l'chayim in keva, because last hilchas akavase to Rabbi Yochan, like the Gemara says throughout Shas, stating that mitzvah lafrisha miyad. There still is a mitzvah to go ahead and be mafish it right away. Says the Vilna Goyin and Bir Agro. What's the makar? K'moshe mevua beperek beiz dechul and daf lamed zayin on the beiz. That's Yecheskel HaNavi. Ube Perek Gimel Shom. The Gemara says it twice. Ube Perek Dalet. The Megillah. Megillah. Perek Dalet. Shalus Rapreid. Vamei Arach Tiyom. So you see from here that even though there's no Chiyuv, the Gemara says, V'les Hilchas HaKavasi. That's not negotiable. But Mitzvah Lafrisha Miyad. So Rapreid is Chumrah. And Yecheskel HaNavi's Chumrah is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Beloshin mitzvah lahafrisha miyad. There is an idea for a person to go ahead and to be mafrish the zroi l'chayi ben keva and to treat his animal that he just shechted as tevel at the very least before he's mafrish the matonis. Tosfos in Masechtas Megillah. So that was the digression meinyan leinyan ba'isinyan. Here's the shloi ba'isinyan part. So Tosfos over there Megillah Chav Zayin of the day says shalu es rapreid the b'meh rach the yom. And what did Rapreid say? He said three things. Everybody knows the Gemara, Frank Tosis. It's a Gemara. Mesechtes Erevin. Daf Nun Vav. Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis. The Gemara says as follows. Rapreid Havalei Ahu Talmido. Rapreid had a Talmud. Davatoni Le Arba Mea Zimni. He used to learn with him. And when he would teach him a Gemara, he would have to teach him the Gemara 400 times. And then he would understand it. Yoy mechad, boyu lemilsa de mitzvah. One day, Rapreda sat down with his Talmud, and before he started learning, he told him, you know, I'm going to have to leave a little early today, because I have to do a devar mitzvah. So he said, you know, I want you to really pay attention. The Gemara says, tono levelei gomar. He kept on teaching him, and he couldn't chap it. Meaning he was chapping it less than he usually chapped it. Omale. So Rapreda told his Talmud, in the Maishna, he says, why today is, you're a little schwacher today. Omale, so he told him, I'll be honest with you. He said that as soon as you told me that you're going to have to leave early, you know, I lost concentration. I keep on thinking you're about to leave. I can't help myself. I can't focus. Amale, so Rapreid to turn to his Talmud, he told him, have daitech. He says, pay attention, v'asniloch, and I'm going to learn with you. Hoda tonale dalid meya zimni achrini. He had taught it him 400 times like always, and now he taught it him another 400 times. And after he taught it him 400 times since Veitamo, nafka baskel, baskel came out v'amale, and he said, nichaloch de lisviloch dai meya shni. He says, Rapreid, that what you just did is not shaykh. The patience and the mysterious nefesh you had to teach your Talmud, it is just unbelievable. It made a tremendous rash in Shemayim. And for what you did, you're going to be rewarded. He says, we give you two choices. If you want, we'll give you 400 years of life. Oy, alternatively, the tiski at v'dorach la'almadasi. Or if you want, you and your generation, ki b'zoicha to'olam haba. Rapreid didn't have to think very much. Amar, he said, it's pasha what I want. I want the niski at no v'dorach la'almadasi. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, t'nu lo'y zu v'zu. So Hashem told the Malachi Asharis, give Rapreid the both. So Rapreid was zoicha that him and his generation had a chelek in olam haba, and Rapreid was zoicha tarichas yom, and he got 400 years of life. Incidentally, the Panim Yofes, the flock, Seifas Rebbe, in his Sefer Al Torah, in Parshas Vezleis Habracha, says, you see from here, Rebbe never loses from teaching the Talmud. Mitamida yoisim ikul. Because what happened to Rapreid? Rapreid gave up all this time for his Talmud. So you think he lost out? He didn't lose anything. He had a richas yom for it. You never lose from teaching Torah. Either way, says the but Freitas Akasha. But if that's the case, Gaval, here I have a Gemara Masechtas Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Shalus Rapreid, the same Rapreid, no two Rapreidas in Shas. Shalus Rapreid, but now Rachta Yomim, and he gave reasons. He said, "Me Yomer LeKadmani on the base Medrash, V'lo Yomer Rachta Lefnei Koyein, V'lo Yachalti Mi Behemish Lo Yhurmu Mat Naiser." From where we learn a grace Aloch in Yeridei Asam Machal of Hey, Freit. Toisves, it's a mafurish Gemara. The Gemara says it was already a whole pasco. We're tapped in. We know what's going on in Shemayim. We know exactly what happened. He was zoichat arichas yavim because he sat with his Talmud. And it was in that schus that he got 400 extra years of life. Says Toisves, very gishmaki teretz. The ish lo yamad demi kar lo yodake. Rapreid didn't realize this. Meaning, this was all going on in Shemayim. They never told Rapreid that he was going to be zoichat arichas yavim. What did they ask Rapreid? What do you want? You want a riches yamin, or do you want that you and your dar should be zaychet olam haba? Rapreid says, "I want me and my zar should be zaychet olam haba." Omer lehen Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You have to be medayik l'shoyne azov shel agamar and erev and nundalad amadeis. Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Rapreid. He told them tnu loy zu vezu. But Rapreid didn't know that, so they came to Rapreid. They saw he's an alta yid. Rapreid is getting older and older, but he looks younger and younger. You know, so they asked him, Rapreid, But meherach the yomim. So Rav Preda says, oh, me yomai this, me yomai that. He pasha didn't realize. He said that as he got older and older, ala b'soiv sherosh achaya kol kach. So then he realized something must have gone on. And then he lived 400 years, and then it was already nicker, shenosnu lo yizu b'zu. But when they asked Rav Preda the question, at that point Rav Preda didn't realize. So he said me yomai. A lot of amiram said me yomai to attribute their arichas yomim to some chumrah that they had. The bottom line is, says Tosfos, that they're both true. I mean, Rav Preda thought that this was the cause of his arichas yomim, but the real rest of the story, what became the zbarer years after this exchange between the Talmidim of Rav Preda and Rav Preda, was that he was zeichet arichas yomim because of this gemara in Erevin. Either way, so last week we spoke about the number 22, and I'm just learning this gemara, and it struck me that there's a number that's very, very prominent in this gemara in Erevin, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, and that's the number 400. So Rav Preda teaches his Talmidim 400 times, or this Talmud 400 times, and he was zeichet to 400 years of, he was zeichet to 400 years of Arichas Yomim. So there were a few Gemaras that Pasha came to mind, Gemaras that we spoke about recently. I mean, you want to go down this road, there's a lot of Gemaras. But let's talk about Gemaras that Pasha, we as a Chabura, spoke a lot about recently. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Bava Basra, Dav Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Rav Nosson Bar Ami once forced somebody to give tzedakah. Ki had the Rava. I'm sorry. Rava once forced Rav Nosson Bar Ami to give tzedakah. Ki had the Rava. Ach bed Rav Nosson Bar Ami v'shakel mina. And he took tzedakah from him. How much? 400 zuzin the tzedakah. He took from him 400 zuzin from tzedakah. So Gemara Masechtas Menachis. Daf Mem Dalid Amen Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nosson. Ein lecha kol mitzvah kalish k'suva b'atayra. Shein matin schara ba'olam hazeh. Now the Gemara tells the story. Heard there was a zayna bekrake ayam. She noitelis dalid meyos zehuvim b'schara. That she takes 400 zuvim for his schar. Shigalo arba meyos zehuvim v'kavod hazman. And the Gemara says because of the tzitzis he was nitzel from the mitzvah that you see from here. That tzitzis is a shmira and it's a mitzvah kala. So you see a mitzvah kala has a shmira. But how much money did he pay? It was 400 zehuvim. Again, you see over here this number 400. The point is, you have a Gemara. Who's all these Gemaras here? It's a Gemara. The Gemara Masechtas Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara that we learned about very recently. The Gemara says that Targum Shal Torah Unklas Ager Amru Mipi Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Targum Shal Neviyan Yoinis Ben Azir Amru Mipi Chagi Scharya Malachi Vinizdaze Eretz Yisrael Arba Meyos Parso Al Arba Meyos Parso. Again, you have the number 400. Here, Gemara Masechtas Yevam is Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis. This we didn't talk about recently. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yudah Mar Rav. May Dechsev Meimenu Bekesef Shosinu Eitzenu Bemchir Yavayu. This is a pasuk in Eicha. That in order for us to, there came a time where usually Torah, it's so accessible that if you want to Torah, you had to pay for Torah. Meimenu Bekesef Shosinu Eitzenu Bemchir Yavayu. Said Rav Yudah Mar Rav. B'Shas Akono Nisbak Shah Halacha Zud. There was a certain halacha that Chum didn't know, and this all took place B'Shas Akono when the Romans were giving a lot of Torah. To the Yiddin. What was the halacha? A real Yavama Shaila. Arisha Yotzim, Arisha Beget, Umishaini Ben Miyun, Maushatachsel Arisha, and we're not going to go into the case. So the Gemara says, Sochru Adam Mechot, Ma'arbe Meir Zuz. They hired somebody for 400 Zuz, Visholos Rabbi Akiva Beis Azrum, and he smuggled into the Beis Azrum Rabbi Akiva was, and he asked him this Shaila. Then they paid the same guy 400 Zuz, and he went to Rabbi Yudim and Beseir and Itzivin, and they found out a halacha. Again, how much did they pay him? They paid him 400 zuz, a similar Gemara. A Gemara Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara over there talks about the Baisusim of Karben Omer fame. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbah, Makil Kul Kil Kul HaBaisusim, Pam Achaz Bikshu Baisusim LaHavdis HaChachamim. This is in the context of Kiddush HaChodesh. Sochru Shnei Bnei Adam Bedalad Meir Zuz. They hired two people and they paid them 400 zuz. What's going on over here? Why are we talking so much? Why 400 zuz? One more Gemara. The Gemara Masechtas Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. This is a well-known Gemara. Everyone knows this Gemara. Tanu Rabbanu, Lo'ilam Yehi Adam HaNafsin Kehillel. A person should be an anav like Hillel. V'alye Kaptin Kishamai. Mai said it was a story. B'nei Shnei Be'i Adam Shimru Zazet. It was a story with two people that made a bet amongst each other. Amru, they said, Kol Misha Yelich V'yachnet Des Hillel. Anyone that can get Hillel to get upset, to get angry, what's he going to get? What does the winner of the bet get? What does he get? Yitol arba meir zuz. He gets 400 zuz. Amar echa mehem ani akni tamer. You see, I could pull it off. And we know the Gemara was Erev Shabbos, and Hillel was washing his hair. Halach va'avra al Pesach Beis. Somebody went to Hillel's house. He said, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is there a Hillel here? Nisat to be outside the cross. And Hillel quickly ran. He put his clothing on. He went outside. Amar lo, he said, B'nei matam avakim. He says, what do you want? Amar lo, so he told him, She'ele yeshli lish. I have a question. He said, M'pnei ma rashen shal bavliyim skalgalois. Why is it that the Babylonians have round heads? And he gave him an answer, and then he asked him another silly question and another silly question. And Hillel was so patient. Finally, at the very end, this person got very angry at Hillel. Amalei, so he told him, Imatahu, if you're Hillel, la yirbu kumaisa be Yisrael. Amalei, why? See, he said, because of you, I lost a bet. I lost $400. Amalei. So Hillel told this person, Hevizah biruchacha kedayu Hillel shetabed al yod, dalid meyazuz, vedalid meyazuz, abeve Hillel lo yakbed. But the bottom line is, it's 400 zuz. Again, you have 400, 400, 400. And the truth is, these are just gemaras. You find 400 in the Torah as well. Just to name a few. These are all, everyone who's psukim, everybody knows. You have in Parashas Lech Lecha, by the Brisbane of Sarim, Hashem tells the Rav Avinu, Yodoye Tei the Kiker Yizarach Beretz Loi Lohem, Va'avodim Ve'inu Oysam, Arba Me'oy Shana. 400 years, you're going to have to be in Mitzrayim, and then afterwards, you're going to get what you want. In Parshas Chayesara, so Ram is handling with the Bnei Ches and Ephraim, and he wants to, how much does it cost to pay for Maras HaMachpela? Adoini Shimaini, Eretz Arba Meir Shekel Kesev Beini Uvein Chamahi. And then you have it again in Parshas Vayishlach, where Yaakov, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, and he gets a report back. What's the report? Vayashuva Malachim Yaakov Leim, Banu Lachich Alesim Gam Hoylech Likroscha, Va'arba Meir Seshimai. He's coming with 400. So what's the significance of 400? So the truth is that we've spoken out, we have a raid bite on this, that 400, the Rishonim Sira Bein Abachayim Parashas Lech, the Baal HaTurim and Parashas Chayesor, says that the number 400 is the gematria of Ayin Ra. And it's related to Ayin Hara. We once said that, whatever, the Dvar Matikim doesn't arichas. But my hergish was, just going through these gemaras, it sounds like Arben Meir is mispergotel. It sounds like that's a big number. Go through every one of these gemaras. It was such a Torah, we had to pay for Torah. You know, we had to hire someone for $400 to go ahead and get, they made this bet, and the winner of the bet's going to get what? He's going to get $5? No, he's going to get $400. He's going to get a real number. And as Eretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael shook. Arben Meir is parsa. Arba Meir's parsa. The hergish is, there was a zaynus shahisa noitel as Arba Meir Zuhubim. She took $400. The hergish seems to be 400, right? Repreda. He taught him 400 times. That's how patient he was. What was the baskal? 400 years of life, or you want you and your whole darsha get Olam Haba? Now, 400 years is not a big number, so then what's the... What are the two choices? It's either I'll give you $5 or... No, it has to be on some level shava b'shava, right? So either you can have this tremendous arichas yamim, 400 years, or you and your whole daughter is going to get Adam Haba. Because if 400, if the connotation is not some big number, then it doesn't make sense, the two choices. Choice A and choice B are completely not aligned. The anyway is not aligned, but at least it has to make a little bit of sense, right? So you have you or your daughter's going to get Olam Haba, or you're going to get 400 years. So my hergish was that, you know, we spoke about Mispar Chav Beis, which is a small number, and here you seem to have a number over here of 400, which is Mispar Gadol. Either way, Yogati Umatzasi. And I tell Baruch Hashem on Shabbos in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim for Abdabad Yoel Weiss, it's on the Gemara Masechtis, Brachas Tavchof on Aleph, for the Gemara there too, talks about Shaimua Ba'arba Me'azuzi. Hinde, Motzinu Ba'arme Bekoimis Beshas, She'enochtu Haschum Arba Me'azuzi. And he brings like 40 Ma'ar Mekoimis. And then he says at the end, V'hu Pele, She'bechola Mekoimis Hanal, Hoye Bidyuk Oysoy Schum, Shal Arba Me'azuzi. Ve'efsher Shu Lav Dafko. Venira, Shabizmana Shas, Hoya Regilos, Kisharotsu Litvoy Schum Godoil, Amru Arba Meyazuz. Kaimash Kosabu Lalon, I forgot to look it up. Bidibra Masko, the Tabra Dalid Meya, Donny, the Kharmai, and Sean Moore Marmakoimus. Yeah. Exactly. But the point is that it's Mavurish, Atana, that Baruch Hashem says such a word. Efshashu Lav Dafka, Venira Shabizmana Shas, Hoya Regilos, Kisharotsu Litvoy Schum Godoil, Amru Arba Meyazuz, Kaimash Kosabu. But either way, so you have over here Mispar Katan, which is the Mispar Chav Beis, and you have the Mispar Gadol, which is the Mispar Tav. Now the truth is, we know that every letter has a gematria.
What's the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet? It's tough. It's 400, really. So if you think of it from that standpoint, tough is, that's the Shvetz. That's it. It doesn't go higher than tough. Then you're already getting tough, Kuf Beis. You know, you're getting into, you have to start chazering over numbers. But really, tough is, I mean, if you really want to go crazy, what's the connection between Chav Beis and tough? So there's Chav Beis Oisius. So really, tough is the 22nd letter of the Oisius. The Misper tough itself is 400. So tough is the last letter of the Chaf Beis, who knows? But the bottom line is, you have Misper Kot and you have Misper Gold, but just to end with one Ara, and really to put it all together, and that is, Sir Apreda said, and he learned with this Talmud, he was Zoicha to what? He got the Spitz Arichas, he gave up so much for other people. He was Zoicha to the Mitamida Yoisa Mikulam, he was Zoicha to on the level that he got 400 years of life, he got Misper Gadol of life, he got everything back, he lost nothing. He had the utmost dedication for his Talmidim, and when he, even Talmidim that was struggling, and he got back everything. He got back Misper Gadol. He got back 400 years. We spoke a lot about Rav recently. Rav Iklo Litatlofush and Tidamcharya and Afsatya Vadvar Matikin. Rav was Rabin Shalkol B'nei HaGoyla. He was the Rebbe of all of Klal Yisrael. He gave himself up 100%. And that's why the Rajbam says in Bava Basra and Beza Man Aleph that just like Yudha Nasi was Leicha to be called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he was called Rebbe. So too Rav, even though his name was Abba Richa, as in yesterday's daf, by the way, he was Leicha to be called Rav. Either way, what do we know about Rav? You know, when we ever Shchodesh Benz, you say, and we say that there's two neschais. Some people say b'schus tefilas rabim amin tzela, and some people say b'schus tefilas rav amin tzela. The Goyin says that the right gear says b'schus tefilas rav, and it's based on the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Masechtas Brachos, where the Gemara says Rav had a tefillah that he used to say every day, and this was his tefillah. So we say it every Rosh Chodesh benching. Rav used to say this tefillah every. Rav was a big davener. Rav used to say this tefillah. Yerushalmi says that Musaf Rosh Hashanah davening was composed by Rav. Rav says, Lo Ivri Alma El Ladab, Rav Shmusa, Lo Ivri Alma El Moshe. Moshe taught Terah to Klai, so Rashi says a very chelik. Rav says, Lo Ivri Alma El Ladab, who sang Shiras for Sishbachis. Rav was a davener. The 10th of the Asar Mil of the Chasidus that Rav was Noyeg was that he had a beautiful voice, and whenever they asked him to daven for the Yom, he would go, But the bottom line is that Rav was a davener. I used to daven a special tefillah every day. This was his tefillah. Says the Goyen that we say this tefillah, and we say B'schus tefillas Rav. Why Rav? We mean the Amora Rav. Because Rav himself wrote this tefillah. Okay, but still, why are we mentioning Rav? He says, because Rav davened for Chaim. And Rav's tefillah was answered. He quotes the Zohar HaKadosh that says that Rav lived 400 years. So Rav lived 400 years like Rav Preda lived 400 years. Hein hein advarim. Rav, who was Ikla Litatlofosh, and he taught the Chevra about Basav Echolav, and he went to Damcharya, and he went to Afsatya again. We're just getting started here, but we're going to go back there. But the point is, But the point is that he lived 400 years, 400, he was Zoicha to Misper Gadol, like Rav Preda, because of the fact, like the Panim Yofes says, that we said in the beginning, the flaw, that when a person gives up, he loses nothing back. And that's the Shmit. He got back Shlemus. His Shlemus was, he got the 400 years. On that note, we begin the last perek of Masechtas Chulin, and that is perek Shiluach HaKan. So the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan is mentioned in the Torah. It's mentioned in Parshas Ki Seitze. The Torah says, Ki yikori kan tzipor lefanecha v'derech b'chol eitz oyalo oretz efroichem oy beitzim v'imre v'etas alo efroichem oyala beitzim. Okay, that's the complicated part of the pasuk. Says the Torah, lo yisikach e'im alabonim. So if you see a mother and its children, it's on a nest, you're not allowed to take the mother. And then the Torah says, shalech t'shalech ha'se'im v'sabonim tikach loch l'man yitavach v'arach t'yonim. First glance, the Torah seems to be saying two things. Number one, if there's a mother and its children or beitzim, efreichim, you can't take those. If you want the mother, the Torah says you're not allowed to. Then the Torah says if you want the children, you can't take the children either. Shalech t'shalech ha'se'im v'sabonim tikamach. So number one, l'sikach ha'im alabonim. So if you want the mother just to take it for yourself, that's not something you're allowed to do. You can't remove the mother from the banim. Number two, if you want the banim, shalech t'shalech esoim v'esabanim tikach loch l'man yitavloch. Either way, zok de mishnah. Shiluach hakan noyeg ba'oretz u'b'chutz la'oretz b'fnei habayis v'shaloi b'fnei habayis b'chulin avaloi b'mukdashim chomer b'kisi adam yishiluach hakan. So not so long ago, we learned parakisi adam.
Kisui Adam, Shiluach HaKan are similar, however, not identical. In fact, Kisui Adam has two chumras over Shiluach HaKan. Number one, she Kisui Adam noig b'chai ba'if. It's noig b'chai ba'if. Number two, b'mezumin, she'ein b'mezumin. It's noig b'mezumin, u'b'she'ein b'mezumin. Meaning, even if you prepared it, still the halach is that, as opposed to Shiluach HaKan, it's only noig b'ein b'mezumin. You can't set up a Shiluach HaKan. It has to be like the Torah says, ki yikari kan sipa lefanecha. You stumble upon this situation. But if you prepare for it, then that, by definition, knocks it out. Additionally, Shiluach HaKan ein noig elo ba'oif, ve'ein noig elo b'she'ein b'mezumin. Ezo, she'ein b'mezumin. What's the definition of ein b'mezumin? K'gwein avazim v'tarnagoylim. Geese or tarnagoylim. She'kinenu b'pardes. If they make a nest in the pardes, there's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Aval, kinenu b'bayis, if they did it in the house. Ve'chein yoynei hardisiyos. So these doves, these Herodian doves, that lach is patim shaloch. There's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Oif tami patim shaloch. There's no Shiluach HaKan when it comes to an oif tami. Oif tami roive. It's al beitzei oif tahar, or tahar roivetz al beitzei tamei. There are two patim l'shalech. Koyre zachar, koyre is a certain bird. The male koyre, Rebbe Eliezer mechayev, the chachamim poitrim, the chachamim say that you're going to be pater. Either way, we just began the halachas of Shiluach HaKan. And the truth is that if you look back to some of the prokim that we just learned, we learned Perek Oisev as Benoi, Kisi Adam, Gidan Nasha, Zroel Chiyayim and Keva and Reishas Ageis, and now Shiluach HaKan. And all of those prokim began with a very similar Mishnah. Noig Baritz, Bechutzlars, Befnei Abayis, Loi Befnei Abayis, Bechulin, Yeh B'Muktashim, Loi B'Muktashim, says the Gemara, Rav Ovin V'Rami Yayish. Chad Oma once said, Kol Heicha Detanam Baritz, Bechutzlars, as it relates to all these Mishnahis, again, Oisev Es Benoi, Kisei Adam, Gedan Nosha, Matnois Kehuna, Reishas Ageis, Shiluach HaKan, when it said that it's Noig and Aritz, Bechutzlars, Shalei Lotzarech, it wasn't necessary. The reason it's not necessary is because why would you think it's not Noyeg Chutz La'aretz? Tefillin is Noyeg Chutz La'aretz. Tzitzis is Noyeg Chutz La'aretz. Why would you think that Shiluach HaKan is not Noyeg Chutz La'aretz? If it's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, okay. But these are not mitzvahs that tluya ba'aretz. None of them are. So why did the Mishnah have to say it? So the Gemara says, Levad mi Reish Lageis. The only one that was necessary to say is Reish Lageis. Lafukin the Rabbi Loi. The Amar Reish Lageis ain't Noyeg Ela Ba'aretz. A Friday's dafim. So Rabbi Loi said that Reish Lageis is only Noyeg in Eretz Yisrael because of the Gzei Reshavo, or the juxtaposition between the mitzvah of Truma and the mitzvah of Reishas Hageis. So just like Truma is only Noyig Ba'aretz, so too Reishas Hageis is also only Noyig in Eretz Yisrael. So we mentioned that Reishas Hageis is Noyig Ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz lafukei midir Rabbi Loi. So once we mentioned it by Reishas Hageis, we mentioned it by all the other ones also. But really, as it relates to saying, for example, our Mishnah, that Shiluach HaKan is Noyig in b'chutz la'aretz, everybody knows that. The other one said, then whenever the Mishnah said that these mitzvahs are Noyig b'fnei abayis, what do these mitzvahs have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? They're not kachim. Why would you think it's related? Levad me oisev ez benoi. With the exception of oisev ez benoi, so good, I would have thought hoyel binyan of the kachim ksiv, because if you look at where the Torah mentions the mitzvah oisev ez benoi, it's in the parish of kachim. Thus, I would have made a toast, maybe, and thought bezman ik kachim ninoi, bezman delek kachim loy ninoi, gamash malon. So the Torah had to mention that oisev ez benoi is noyeg, even shloi b'fnei abayis. Once we mention it with regards to that, we mention it with regards to everything else as well. But Shavayu Amri, so Rav Avin sent one of the aforementioned, Miyasha said the other ones, but they both said the following. Wherever it says that it's noig in chulin and hektish as l'tzorich levad mi gidan asha, with the exception of gidan asha. By gidan asha, there's no need to say that it's noig b'kachim. Meaning, you do need to say that all the other ones are noig b'chulin mikdashim. It's not shaloi l'tzorich, it's l'tzorich. It's just the opposite. How would you know otherwise? With the exception of gidan asha, it's pashut, it's noig b'kachim. Why? Because mishum de'ikdash b'kachim yisa gidan asha minay. First an animal's chulin, then it becomes kachim. Meaning, the Issa Gedan Asha is chal as soon as the animal is born. So why would you think that now that you were makdish it, all of a sudden, the Issa Gedan Asha would go away? But the Gemara says it's not true, because we learned these Gemaras together, V'lavi Kimna, V'lades Kachim. We already made an Akimta that this Mishnah is talking about V'lades Kachim. V'lades Kachim are born Kachim. Thus, the Isser Gidan Asha and Hektish Achal B'Vazachas. So we're going to have a meeting. Maybe you're right. If an animal was chulin, then it became Hektish, it's Pashit that the Issa Gedan Asha is going to be Noyig. Because if this Gidan Asha, when it's chulin, there's nowhere for it to go when it becomes hektish. It doesn't just go away. It's not just pakamine. The Mishnah is discussing, however, the Gemara previously established Vlades Kachim. The deal with Vlades Kachim, so there's certainly a chiddush. The bottom line is, the Gemara says, I hear. It's true, we already did that. But Amiram, we're coming to say a little bit of a different shot of the Mishnah. Meaning, my time, ukimna, why did you make this a kimta? And say that the Mishnah of Gidan Asha that says it's not even Muktashim is talking about Vlad Kachim, la Mishnah of the Kasha, I'm like, listening, because you had this Kasha.
Your kasha was, why did the Mishnah have to say it otherwise? These Amiram said that's not a kasha. I did the Tani Litzarech, Tani Nami Shloi Litzarech. I mean, you're going to ask this kasha, why the Mishnah mentioned that Gidan Osh is Noik Bekotchim? I'm going to ask you seven other kashas. Why does it say that Oisav Ez Benoy is Noik Shloi Bifnei Abayas? Or why does it say that it's Noik Bechutz Laretz? The Teretz is, as long as there's one thing that's Litzarech, that's enough to mention everything else, even though it's Shloi Litzarech. We mentioned Ba'aretz or Bechutz Laretz, because it's a chiddush by Reishis Hagez, Lafukim the Rabbi Lois, and now we mention it by everything else. We mention Bifnei Abayis, Shloi Bifnei Abayis, because it's a chiddush by Oisav Ez Benoyis, and then we mention it by everything else. So certainly, it's a chiddush that all these mitzvahs are noig, b'chulim, m'kashim, so you're allowed to mention it for the one where you would have known it anyways, perhaps, which is by Gid, huh?
It's a little mashma that Rabbi